Okay, we're supposed to be doing sugyas relating to Maseches Tainis. This very much relates to Maseches Tainis, although the starting point is not a Gemara in Tainis. We're going to talk about a Gemara that appears actually in Maseches Megillah, but relates very much to this season of the year and to Maseches Tainis, to Tisha B'Av in particular. This past summer, just 2 weeks ago, Rav Yonason Sacks came to visit Camp Keli, and he brought a box of his new sefer, Yom Tzom Ta'aniseinu, and distributed it to whoever the first 20 lucky winners were to receive them. And he has a beautiful piece in there on the topic of Rebbe Bikesh Lakar Tisha B'Av. So that's going to be our topic. Everything I'm saying is pretty much taken straight out of Simen Dalid in Sefer Yom Tzom Ta'aniseinu, but I stopped short of the last few pages where he quotes Rav Zsolti's entire piece. So, okay, so I'm just saying. I got an email today. Maybe someone else might be preparing a chabura or a shir on, based on Rav Zsolti's piece. So I was going to leave it out anyway, but now I have more reason to leave it out. So let's start with an interesting, fascinating Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Hey Amud Aleph, going over Daf Hey Amud Beis. Source number one: Amar Rav Elazar Rabbi Chanina, Rebbe Natan Atiya Bepurim VeRachatz BeKronos Shel Tzipuri BeShivas BeTamus. Starts telling us about different things that Rebbe did that were somewhat controversial, that were questionable. He planted on Purim, which means he was doing malacha, he was going to work on Purim. He bathed on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Ubikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av, and he wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av. And surprise, surprise, V'lo Hodulo, the other Chum said, you can't do that. Amr Lefan of Rabbi Abra Zivda, Rebbe Lo Kachoya Maisa. He says, no, that can't be what actually happened. There's no way Rebbe would just decide to cancel Tisha B'Av short of the building of a Beis HaMikdash. So that didn't happen. Rather, what happened? Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos Hava. It was a year like this year, where Tisha B'Av is going to fall on Shabbos. V'dichinu La'achar HaShabbos. So they were noheg like we're supposed to be noheg when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, where we observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday. And Rebbe said, nah, once we're not having Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av, we're not going to have Tisha B'Av at all. So let's just cancel Tisha B'Av for this year, Rebbe said. Not for all years, but for the 1 year where Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos. And that's what the Chachamim did not agree to. Kari Alei, they said about him, the Pasuk in Kohelet, Tov Mashnayim in Echad, that better to have 2 days of Tisha B'Av than one. So you have 2 days of Tisha B'Av, the real Tisha B'Av, which is Shabbos, which you're not observing Tisha B'Av, and Sunday when you observe Tisha B'Av. So that's what we do. And they observe Tisha B'Av. Not sure if that's what the Pasuk means. I have to look at Rashi. I don't have the Rashi in front of me. But whatever the reference to that Pasuk is, they decided to outvote Rebbe, and he couldn't cancel Tisha B'Av that year. Now, Tosfos raises a question. It's important. The whole shiur is going to revolve around this one little Tosfos. It's important to note that the entire question of Tosfos and all the answers that Tosfos gives and our entire discussion of what Tosfos means by the answers that he gives to his question is all within a Hava Amina of the Gemara. The Gemara ultimately rejects the idea that Rebbe really wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av forever, that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. That was a Hava Amina. The Gemara thought that's what he wanted to do. In the end, the Gemara said, no, all he really wanted to do was delay Tisha B'Av by one day, was cancel Tisha B'Av 1 year when Tisha B'Av was going to fall on Shabbos. He never intended to fully cancel Tisha B'Av forever and ever. Nevertheless, Tosfos asks a kasha on the Hava Amina of the Gemara, gives a couple of answers to this kasha on the Hava Amina of the Gemara, and that causes a huge discussion in the Achronim, and just goes to show you the power of a Hava Amina in Shas. The Gemara says, Mesecha Sukkah, Va'allahu lo yibol, that we darshan from the Pasuk, Va'allahu lo yibol, sha'afilu sicha schulin sh'tamid echam tzrichin limud. That even when Talmidei Chacham speaks Sichas Chulin, even just in regular day-to-day mundane speech, you need to learn from even their Sichas Chulin. So I remember when we were learning Sukkah and Rav Shachter Shir, he quoted from the Ruach Chaim, from Chaim Velashner, he said, Mehech Tesi, Talmidei Chacham are speaking Sichas Chulin? Talmidei Chacham are always talking and learning. What does it mean, Sichas Chulin? So he says that no, Sichas Chulin means from the Hava Amina of the Talmidei Chacham. The fact that they wanted to learn it it one way, even if ultimately they rejected it, there's something that could be derived even from the hava mina of how to learn something. Rav Shachter recalled how in Rav Salvechik's shir, sometimes he would come in and he would say a 2-hour, 3-hour shir, building a whole yesod and a whole idea, and then the next day he would come in and he would say, everything I said yesterday was wrong. I realized last night, everything I said yesterday was wrong, so forget everything I said. So is it really advantageous to forget everything he said? So probably not. Even that shir is shichul nimud. There's a lot to derive. And we get that from the Gemara. There's a lot to derive from a hava mina in the Gemara. And that's really what we're working off of. There was a hava mina in the Gemara. The Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility for a millisecond, I don't know, depending how fast you read, either for a millisecond or for a couple of seconds, the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility that Rebbe was willing to cancel Tishba forever. Asks Tosfos, source number 2. We're not going to read everything inside, but this is the primary source of the whole sugya. Kasha, heichi salka daitach dahai tana, the Rebbe, hayarotza lakor tishbav legamri. How could we even entertain the possibility that Rebbe wanted to cancel Tishbav completely? Va'amrinan, Gemara in Tainus tells us, kala ochel, we're not up to this yet in Tainus, but kala ochel v'shosa b'tishbav, einara b'nechamash shel Yerushalayim. If someone does not treat Tishbav properly, if one does not observe Tishbav, and one eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, he's never going to see the Necham of Yerushalayim. This is the flip side of what the Gemara in the Seches Brachos tells us, that someone who observes proper Avelus of Yerushalayim will be able to see the Simcha of Yerushalayim. Va'od, and furthermore, says Tosos, forgetting about the fact that it's Tisha B'Av, it could have been any Din Midrabanan. Rebbe would have no right to cancel any din midrabanan. The rule is, you're only allowed to cancel a previous din midrabanan if your bezin is greater in both chachma and minyan than the bezin that originally made that din midrabanan. And Rebbe's bezin could not have been greater b'chachma b'minyan than the original bezin that instituted the fast of Tisha B'Av. So what's the havamina that Rebbe would have been able to cancel Tisha B'Av? So these are Tosos' 2 questions. First of all, Tisha B'Av, you're going to cancel Tisha B'Av, you know how important Tisha B'Av is? And second of all, forget that it's Tisha B'Av. How could you cancel any din from a Beis Din that preceded you that's greater B'Chachma B'Minyan? So Tosus gives 2 answers. First of all, Tosus says, V'yesh lomar, d'laratza l'okro ele mechumra sheyesh bo yoser mishar taniyos. Rebbe wasn't going to completely cancel Tisha B'Av. He was simply going to cancel the extra halachos that you have on Tisha B'Av that go beyond what we do on every other fast day. And namely, what do we do on every other fast day that we can't do on Tisha B'Av? Well, first, most fundamentally, we eat at night on every other fast day. We only don't eat in the morning. But then you also have all the inuyim that we do on every other fast day. There's no iser of sikh, of rechitza, of, you know, nilas sandal, of tashpramita. All these things are only on Tisha B'Av. They're not on every other fast day. So Rebbe was just going to turn Tisha B'Av into a regular fast. And a lot of times people have in their mind that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, that there's Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av that are on par with each other. It's not exactly true, la halacha. Yom Kippur is much more chamur than Tisha B'Av is. For example, a cholesh ein bo sakana even is allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. You have to be a cholesh yesh bo sakana to be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, the way we paskin. But nevertheless, Tisha B'Av clearly is much more chamra than Shavas B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis and all these other Tzom Gedalia, all the other fast days that we generally observe. So that's all Rebbe wanted to do. Inami, second possible answer, yesh lomar deratza la'okro michi l'kavo ba'asiri. Rebbe didn't want to cancel Tisha B'Av in the Havamina, is that he wanted to move Tisha B'Av to the following day. Why would he want to do that? Kedama Rabbi Yochanan, also Gemara in Tainus, Rabbi Yochanan said, Ilu avayasum kavate basiri. Had I been around when they were deciding to make Tisha B'Av, I would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th day of Av. He probably would have called it something else also. But I would have moved it to the 10th day of Av rather than on the 9th day of Av. And that's what Rebbe wanted to do. All he wanted to do was to have it on the 10th day of Av. So, and if that's the case, you understand that the movement the Gemara had between the Havamina and the Maskana is not that great. Right? The Havamina was that he wanted to make it on the 10th day of Av always, and the Gemara said, no, you misunderstood. He didn't want to make it on the 10th day of Av always. It was when we were going to make it on the 10th day of Av he didn't want to do it at all that year. So it was something about 9 versus 10 between the Havamina and the Maskana. Whereas according to the first answer of Tosos, really the Havamina and the Maskana are completely different topics. That Rebbe wanted to change the character of Tisha B'Av, and then the Gemara says, no, he just wanted to cancel it 1 year. But whichever answer of Tosos you take, whether Rebbe wanted to turn Tisha B'Av into Tzom Gedalia, or whether Rebbe wanted to make Tisha B'Av Asiri B'Av, either way, it's troubling because it's difficult to understand how this answers the question. It's difficult to understand how this answers the question. Now, not difficult to understand how it answers the first question. The first question was, how could you do this to Tisha B'Av? Don't you know how important it is to fast on Tisha B'Av? So the answer is very simple. Yeah, Rebbe knows how important it is, and that's why he was going to keep that. Either he was going to keep the no eating rule and get rid of all the rest of the rules, or he was going to keep all of the rules, just move it to a different day. But of course he was going to keep the basic character of Tisha B'Av. But the second question doesn't seem to be answered at all by Tosfos. The second question was, how could he undo a takana made by earlier generations? He was clearly changing something. He clearly, in the Havamina, he clearly wanted to change something. Whether you hold like the first answer of Tosos, that what he wanted to change was the laws of the day, or whether you hold like the second answer, that he wanted to change the date of Tisha B'Av, but he clearly was going to change something. And what gives him the right to change something? How do you have the right to change a din that was made, that takana that was made by an earlier basin? So what we're going to offer tonight is three different approaches to explaining this Tosos, to explaining how it could be that Rebbe had, that Tosos understands, Rebbe had the ability to change a takana midrabanan from an earlier Beis Din, despite the fact that he was not Gadol B'Chachma B'Minyan, simply because he was only changing some details around. Why does that help? So the first approach is Rishon Kluger, which is probably the simplest pshat just in the reading of Tosos. Rishon Kluger says, you have to understand that, and I didn't have it on the Bar Ilan, so I just didn't put down the whole any of the Chachma Shlomo here, although Rav Moshe in source number 7 quotes it. Rav Moshe's whole tshuva in source number 7 is his reason for disagreeing with what Rav Shlomo Kluger writes. But so Rav Moshe sort of quotes it in source number 7 in Tshuva Sigus Moshe of Nezach Elupesim and Tess. But let me just summarize outside what Rav Shlomo Kluger says. Rav Shlomo Kluger says you need to understand this rule that we have, that a later Beis Din is not allowed to undo the din of an earlier Beis Din, the takana rather, of an earlier Beis Din, does not mean that a later Beis Din is not allowed to change anything. All it means is that a later Beis Din cannot completely uproot a takana of an earlier Beis Din. But to modify a takana of an earlier Beis Din, that's fair. That they're allowed to do. A later Beis Din is permitted to modify a takana of an earlier Beis Din. They just can't have the chutzpah to completely change the takana of an earlier Beis Din. They can alter or modify an existing takana. And Rav Shlomo Kluger says, based on this, a great chiddush lahalacha. The halacha is, let's say a woman has a baby, and shortly after having the baby, she either gets divorced or her husband dies, and she has this little tiny baby, and she wants to get remarried. So the halacha is, midina de gemara, takana midrabanan, she's not allowed to get married until she's finished nursing the baby, and the assumption in the gemara is that nursing is 24 months. That and the concern that the Chum had was that if she were to get married before 24 months are up, she's going to get pregnant again with a new husband, then she won't be able to nurse the baby anymore, and it's going to put the baby besakana. The baby relies on the mother for its sustenance, and the mother's not going to be able to produce any milk, it's not going to take care of her baby from the previous marriage, and her new husband's not going to care, because it's not his kid anyway, and therefore, for the protection of the baby, for the safety of that baby, 24 months before she can get remarried. Now, the Gemara always works with the assumption that it takes 24 months for nursing. That there's the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos has a discussion of how long is healthy to nurse, how long is unhealthy to nurse. The Gemara says by the time a child is 5 or 6 years old, by then he should be weaned already, right? They say if he's making brachas already, probably bracha achrona too by heart. So then probably it's time to wean him off of the milk. But 24 months was the assumption that the Gemara has. There's actually a discussion in the Gemara why it is that a woman is considered a meinekes for 24 months after having a baby. Is it because she's actually nursing and that weakens her? Or is it that the trauma of childbirth is not completely gotten over until four, she doesn't completely recuperate from the trauma of childbirth until 24 months later. Evareha nisparkim. She's only back to being completely herself 24 months later. They never could have imagined, like we do now in hospitals, where they send her out of the hospital like 16 hours after having the baby, and she's in the gym the next day or whatever. They never could have imagined such a thing. But the assumption was 24 months for her body to recuperate. In fact, it's based on that Mori V'Rabbi Rav Mordechai Willig paskins that any woman who's had a child within the last 24 months doesn't fast any of the minor fast days. When we brought our the guys in Makolo from Camp Keli to Marash HaKolo last week, Rabbi Willig said, "I don't know what your rabbi paskins, but I paskin that it's 24 months, no matter what, whether she's nursing or not, because that's how long it takes the body to recuperate." It's always interesting to see when people move from Riverdale which shilas they ask again, because now they're no longer in Riverdale, which shilas they don't ask again. This is one that they don't ask again, because everyone's very happy with this psak. By Chassidim, it's even more. By the Chassidim, within childbearing years, women don't fast except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. In childbearing years, even if she's not married yet. So like from 17 until, 45 or whatever, they're not fasting at all, which is interesting. For most of those years, it's because she's actually having children. She's either pregnant or nursing, usually, for most of those years. But anyway, they need to stay strong in order to be able to produce so many children. But Rav Shlomo Kluger wants to suggest as follows, that who nurses for 24 months anymore? This is not a concern anymore. He says nowadays, in times of Shlomo Kluger, average is 18 months. No one nurses for more than 18 months. Certainly not 24 months. Therefore, says Shlomo Kluger, a woman can get married 18 months later. I, who am I to come be mevatel takana of a previous Beis Din in the times of Chazal that said it's 24 months? Not being mevatel any takana. I'm adjusting it. And you're allowed to adjust the takana. You're allowed to modify the takana. Shlomo Kluger wants to say this halacha lemaisa, and his raya that you're allowed to adjust the takana is our Tosos. He says, you see that the Tosos was very uncomfortable with Rebbe canceling Tisha B'Av, but was perfectly fine with Rebbe modifying Tisha B'Av, changing the rules, changing the date, as long as it's just changing and it's not canceling. The problem.
Nursing suppresses ovulation. It's actually more likely than not going to get pregnant while they're nursing.
Right. I think the assumption that the Gemara assumes it's impossible to get pregnant while she's nursing. Not just that it's not likely that it's impossible, which it's not impossible, but it's unlikely. The concern, maybe I think I misstated it, is that she's going to wean the baby early to make the new husband happy that she can get pregnant.
Also, does Rabbi Willig not hold by this chiddush that you can modify a takana because he says 24 months?
Nobody holds on this chiddush. We'll see in a moment. I mean, this chiddush is, it's a very, very big chiddush. It's against a lot. First of all, the Ritva points out that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Beis, the first Mishnah of Maseches Megillah discusses what dates you can read the Megillah. So we know what dates you're supposed to read the Megillah. It says in the Megillah, right? And Yud Dalet and Tesvav, depending if you're in a walled city or if a non-walled city or a walled city from this Yeshua Ben Nun. So the Gemara Megillah Daf Beis says that the Bnei Akfarim read the Megillah early on the Yom HaKnisa, the previous Monday or Thursday. And the Gemara says, well, how can you allow that? How could the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made a takana, Yudalit and Tasvav? So how could we makdim Yom HaKnisa? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara asks, you can't uproot a takana that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made. But if Shlomo Kluger's right, they're not uprooting a takana. What are they doing? They're modifying a takana. They're adjusting the takana. They're saying, yeah, you do read the Megillah just a few days early. What's the difference between that and Rebbe delaying Tisha B'Av by one day, moving Tisha B'Av to one day later? It's all the same. It's just modifying an existing takana. So this is a bomb kasha on Rav Shlomo Kluger, on Rav Shlomo Kluger's understanding of Tosfos, keep in mind, Rav Shlomo Kluger didn't make it up. He said this is the Pashup Shad of Tosfos, that Rebbe was allowed to modify the takana, so there's a valid Hava Amina that he would move Tisha B'Av by a day, just no valid Hava Amina that he would totally cancel Tisha B'Av. So that's the simple reading of Tosfos. So that's the Ritva's Kasha on Tosfos. Now Rav Moshe in that Tshuva, in Source number 7, in Igros Moshe, or Ebenezer, Chilbe, Simon Tes, Rav Moshe points out that, first of all, he says, it's not mistaver. He says, you're going to say a chiddush like this. that a later Beis Din is allowed, is not allowed to cancel the Takana. Why is that? Why is it that a later Beis Din is not allowed to cancel a Takana from an earlier Beis Din unless they are greater in wisdom and in number than the earlier Beis Din? So what's the assumption? Probably the assumption is that the later Beis Din is not, doesn't have the authority that the earlier Beis Din has. They're not as great. We believe in this concept of Yeridas Hadoros. You know, we believe that we don't have Rabbi Kiva Eggers walking around anymore. We don't have Vilna Gaon's walking around anymore. There's a Yeridas Hadoros. We don't have Ravinas and Ravashis walking around anymore. There's a Yeridas Hadoros. So unless you happen to be greater, B'chachmah B'minyan, you're this historical anomaly where somehow in a later generation you're greater than the previous generation, you just can't do it. You can't argue on an earlier generation. So what's the svara to say that you should be allowed to modify it and to change it? How can you modify and change something that the earlier generation did? You shouldn't be allowed to do that either. Meaning, Rav Moshe says his lashon is, you know, in this argument is malanu kulo o miktsaso. What difference does it make if it's the entire thing or part of the thing? They're either way, they're arguing on an earlier basis, and that shouldn't be allowed. And then he says, and my son, Rav David, Rav Moshe quotes, he often quotes his children in his tshuvas, he was very proud of his children being such great Talmid Chacham. He said, my son, Rav David, asked the Kasha that this Chiddush is against Megillah Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It happens to be the Ritva asked the Kasha too. I don't know if Rav Moshe knew that and you know would rather quote it from his son Rav David or wasn't aware of that Ritva, but it's the same Kasha. He says it's against Megillah Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that the Gemara assumes you're not allowed to just move Purim, move Kriyas HaMegillah to a different day, even though it's only a modification. It's not a total canceling of the earlier Takana. And then he says, and aside from that, we have another raya against it. The Gemara Nevel Dezara, Dav Lamed Vav, says that Rebu Beis Dino Hitiru Shemen. There were a whole bunch of gzeros that Chazal made to keep us away from mingling with Goyim too much. Chazal said we're not allowed to drink their wine, even if it wasn't used for Avodah Zarah, even just Stam Yenam. We're not allowed to have Gvinas Akum, cheese made by Goyim. We're not allowed to have Chalav Akum. We're not allowed to have Bishul Akum. And they even made a takana that you're not allowed to have Shemen Akum, the oil of non-Jews. And then Rebbe and his Beis Din came and got rid of that takana. They canceled that takana. It's something that we couldn't possibly handle, not to even have oil made by non-Jews, because it was a gzeira shenu v'tzivur chol lamud ba. So they called the Beis Din the Beis Dino de Shara Mishcha. They got the title of the Beis Din that was matir the oil, because it was such a big deal that they were matir the oil. So says Rav Moshe, the Gemara challenges, how could they be mevatel that takana, that earlier takana, of don't you know that a later Beis Din is not allowed to be mevatel the takana of an earlier Beis Din? And regardless of what the answer is, the Gemara brings that as a question. I mean, the Gemara asks, canceling the takana of Shemen Akum seems to be a violation of a later Beis Din canceling a takana of an earlier Beis Din. Well, why is it a violation, says Rav Moshe? According to Rav Shlomo Kluger, it's not a violation at all, because all these takanos were one big takana. Rashi writes in Masech Shabbos Daf Yud Ches, all these takanos of all the Machalei Akum, they were all made at one time, they were all one big takana. So it's not a cancellation of the takanos of Machalei Akum, it's a modification. Just like Rebbe would be allowed to say that you're allowed to bathe and wear leather shoes on Tisha B'Av, just not eat or drink, so why can't Rebbe and his Beis Din say you're still not allowed to eat Bishul Akum or Chalav Akum, but you're allowed to have Shemen Akum? You're keeping part of the Takana. So says Rav Moshe, it must be that there's no such thing. This whole idea is not true. It's not true that a later Beis Din is allowed to modify the Takana of an earlier Beis Din. But how do you answer for Tosos then? What exactly is Tosos going to say? How does the Tosos, meaning, it's not just Rav Shlomo Kluger. Tosos has to mean something. Tosos asked, how is there a Havamina that Rebbe was going to cancel Tisha B'Av? Tosos says, no, he wasn't going to cancel. He was either going to move the date or change some of the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Why is that okay? So Maariz Chayis has a very surprising answer in terms of dealing with the Tosfos, and it's very difficult to understand. If you look in source number 5, in the third line, Maariz Chayis writes, "Vitzarach lomar debevaday akira mizman lizman akira hava." He says certainly to change the date of a takana is considered uprooting the date, and that's no good. V'shayni hacha mishum sheish tam v'siba la'akira zos. But if there's a really good reason to move the date, that's different. Mishum sharubo shal hechel nisraf bo. Moving Tisha B'Av to the 10th day makes a lot of sense. That's when the Beis HaMikdash really got burnt. And there's a raya to Shidim Gvetz and Ksubus. We're not going to get into that right now. Umuvgam ken v'yamalachi. Dehechad yesh tam usvara. Whenever there's a good reason, here's the key. Dim hayu amasaklim shomim ta'anios ha-meshivim, ulai hayu modim ledivrei ha-tohanim. He says, when it's a thought that a later generation had, that it's likely the early generation didn't think of, it's a point that the early generation may not have considered, well, then you're allowed to adjust based on such a point. Because maybe, had they heard at this point, they would have altered the takana themselves. I just don't know when you're allowed to say that and when you're not. Meaning, when can you say with confidence, oh yeah, probably the Anshei Knesset Gadol didn't think of the thing that I'm thinking of 1,000 years later. I mean, can you say such a thing? I don't know. I don't know how that makes things better, and I don't know how we could be magdir that. Meaning, what he's suggesting is, when Rebbe came up with the idea of moving Tisha B'Av to the 10th day of Av, because most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on that day, had he had an audience with the original Beis Din that made the Takana of Tisha B'Av, he would have been able to convince them. Because he would have told them, guys, I don't know if you realize this, but you know, most of the Beis HaMikdash were actually burnt on the 10th day of Av, so really we should adjust it. And then they would have said, oh, we didn't know that. We never considered that. It's very hard to understand. They didn't know that. They lived through it. They didn't consider it. You don't think there was a debate that was had at the time about what day to make Tisha B'Av? Very, very difficult Maritz Chayas to understand. So Rav Moshe is one that ripped into this Rav Shlomo Kluger, says, I don't believe it at all, that you could modify any takanos, so he's got to come up with his own approach. So Rav Moshe suggests a second possibility, a second approach. Rav Moshe suggests that Tosfos just means to say that the original takana wasn't really to observe Tisha B'Av the way we observe Tisha B'Av. Meaning when Tosfos says, oh, all Rebbe was going to do was going to turn Tisha B'Av into a Shivas B'Tamuz Tzom Gedalia type of day. That's not changing a takana of the earlier Beis Din, because originally Tisha B'Av was that kind of day. It was only a later chumrah that we were noheg later on. That wasn't even a takana. That was a minhag that we accepted later on to enhance Tisha B'Av, to beef up Tisha B'Av, that we accepted all these extra chumras. All Rebbe wanted to do was go back to the original takana. That's all he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to cancel Tisha B'Av, get all of this within the Hava Amina. So Rebbe was able to bring it back to the way it was. Now, what he's suggesting is that Tisha B'Av really fundamentally, in its original format, was made to be the same as every other fast. And only later on did it start to become different. Well, there is a fundamental machlokas, Tosfos and the Ramban. They both agree that that's true, by the way. Tosfos and the Ramban both agree that that's true. That initially Tisha B'Av and the other fasts had all the same rules, and that at some point that changed. But the machlokas, Tosfos and the Ramban is in which direction that changed. Tosfos writes that originally all of them were just fast days, no other restrictions. And then later on, Tisha B'Av got beefed up a little bit. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, and all the Makaros are in front of you, but we're not going to read them inside. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam writes that no, initially they were all the fast days were Tisha B'Av type of fast. No eating at night, no shoes, no Tashma Shamita, no Sicha, no Rukh. All the fast days were Tisha B'Av type fast days. But in times in history, Dilekat Sara, where we're not suffering, where things are sort of going somewhat smoothly, even in Galus, we don't have to observe them with all their chumras, and they just go back to being regular fast days. Except we're knowing to be machmir and Tisha B'Av. So that's all Rebbe was trying to do. All Rebbe was trying to do was bring it back to the way it initially was. Now, there is a sefer called Nazirus Shimshon, where the Nazirus Shimshon, Simtavkov Nandalin, suggested the following. He said, if this is really true, which way? If it's really true that initially, like Tosfos says, that initially all the fast days, including Tisha B'Av, were only daytime fasts, and they were only you know, they were only eating and drinking fast. If that's really true, it says in Zirah Shum Shalav HaKiddush, what if you have a person who can't make it through a 24-25 hour fast? They can fast, you know, 12 hours, 14 hours, 16 hours maybe, not 25 hours. What should we tell them to do on Tisha B'Av? So, normally we would say, Erechola, eat. What do you mean, what do you tell them to do? They eat and drink on Tisha B'Av. Says in the Zirah Shum Shalav, well, I'm not sure. Maybe we should tell them, eat and drink at night. Wake up at 4 in the morning, have your coffee, your breakfast, or whatever people do before the fast. I mean, this time of year it's really rough, right? When's the Shach at 4:08 in camp, it was like someone asked on Shabbat Sabbatam, you can wake up early to eat. On camp time, that was 3:08. I said, that's crazy. So you have a coffee at 3:08, then what do you do? But let a person like this do that. Let them eat at night, drink at night, and at least they'll fast the whole day. What do you gain from doing that? Well, what you gain is pretty straightforward. What you gain is the original takana of Tisha B'Av was to fast during the day. It was a later chumrah that we took to fast at night as well. So you can keep Tisha B'Av in its original form if you just eat at night. That's what you should do. That's what the Nazir Shimshon suggests. So Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher and Moadim and Simon Lamaches, he has two problems with this Nazir Shimshon. He says, first of all, that whole cheshbon is only true according to Tosfos. That whole cheshbon doesn't work according to the Ramban. Right? According to the Ramban, Tisha B'Av in its original form was to fast 24 hours, as was Shavuot Batamos, as was Tzom Gedalia, as was Asar B'Tev. They were all 24-hour fasts. So you don't have this whole idea that, you know, put Tisha B'Av, if you only eat during the day, and you only eat during the night, and you fast during the day, you'd be Mekayim Tisha B'Av in some previous form. You're not. According to the Ramban, it only works according to Tosfos. But then he says a very fascinating ha'ara, which we're not going to get too much into right now. Rabbi Razin just gave a whole shiur on this topic a couple of weeks ago in camp. I said to him right afterwards, I said, this is a Shabbat Shuvah drasha, for sure. And he said, no, it was a Shavuos night. But he could hear why one would use it for Shabbat Shuvah. So maybe we'll come back to it at Shabbat Shuvah if my creative juices don't get moving between now and then, and I need to lift completely from Rabbi Rosner. I'm not embarrassed. So the Minchas Asher's second problem is as follows: the idea that a person who is not well should eat the night of Tisha B'Av while they're still strong enough to fast, and then fast during the day, is a very interesting idea. Meaning, what do you tell a person who right now is strong enough to observe the halacha, but is concerned that at some future time they're not going to be able to observe the halacha? Do you say, well, keep the halacha as long as you can? We don't even know if you're going to make it to that future time. You know, who knows? Maybe Mashiach will come. Maybe he'll get struck by lightning. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But I know right now you have an avodah to do. Do exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. Or do you say, no, you have to chachamein of Barosho. You have to have the big picture in mind. I remember when we had first gotten married, we were living in Kew Garden Hills, and at the time we were asking our shaylas to Rabbi Arieli. He was down the block. He was the local rab. So he was very makel on fasting for women in general. A pregnant woman doesn't fast anything ever. So except Yom Kippur, she should try. So when it came to Tisha B'Av, I remember my wife was pregnant on Tisha B'Av, and she must have been in her ninth month. I think it was when she was pregnant with Yonah. He was born September 2nd, so it must have been, I don't know, 8th month, 9th. So I asked him, and he said, how could she fast? Don't you realize Yom Kippur's around the corner? If she fasts now, her body may not have fully recuperated by the time Yom Kippur comes around. You know, Yom Kippur's not like the next day. It's not the next week. It's, you know, it's a long time later. But his psak about Tisha B'Av was with the concern that Yom Kippur was going to be it's too much to risk becoming unhealthy for Yom Kippur. Meaning, keep the long view. This is a well-known machlokas between the Chacham Tzvi and the Radvaz about a person who, let's say, is in a jail where he can't fulfill any mitzvahs, can't daven b'tzibur, can't do, you know, go to shul or whatever. And they tell him, you get one day to get out of jail free, where you could just go out for the day. Which day should he choose? Should he choose the next available day? Because that's, you know, the next minyan, is the next Kriyas HaTorah. That's the mitzvah that comes up first. Or should he say, whoa, let's think about what's the most important mitzvah I have in the whole calendar? Maybe I should go out Yom Kippur, maybe I should go out for Kriyas HaMegillah, maybe, and figure out what the most important day is, and delay is get out of jail free for that day. Or for example, you have a person talking about two fast days that do actually come very close, one on the heels of the other, some Gedalia, followed shortly thereafter by Yom HaKippurim. A person is told by his doctors, there's no way you can fast twice in 1 week. You can fast once, no way you can fast twice in 1 week. So do you fast some Gedalia? And then if it comes Yom Kippur and you can't fast, on Nisrach Manapatri, what are you supposed to do? Or do you say, no, they told you you're not going to be able to fast twice, you got to keep the long view in mind, so you don't fast some Gedalia, better to fast on Yom Kippur. So Rav Asher says, it's just very interesting, the Nazir Shimshon is working with the assumption that you keep the long view. Meaning, here you are on Tisha B'Av night. It happens to be Rav Asher, interestingly, does not quote this as the machlokas between the Chacham Tzvi and the Radvaz, even though that's what I think the whole world knows it as, but he quotes it as the machlokas between the Oel Moshe and the Eshel Avram. There are other poskim that had the same machlokas, but I never heard of the Oel, I mean, I don't even know who the Oel Moshe is, and the Eshel Avram, I assume he's talking about Avram Davin Mibachach, but not the Prima God, the Meshel Avram, but interesting that that's who he quotes it from. But he says that L'chora, that's the Nazir Shimshon, by saying that you should eat Tisha B'Av night so that you'll be able to fast Tisha B'Av day, is assuming that you take the long view, not the short view. So then Rav Asher says, maybe not though. Maybe there's a difference between some Gedalia and Yom Kippur, which are two separate mitzvahs, versus Tisha B'Av, which is all one day. Tisha B'Av night, Tisha B'Av day, it's all one day. So maybe you take the long view when it's all the same mitzvah, and maybe everyone would agree to that. Maybe it's not really subject to this same machlokas. Now, the truth is, this entire approach, Rav Moshe's approach, this whole idea that the original takana was to only observe the daytime of Tisha B'Av, and that's all they were trying to do, that really only explains Tosfos' first answer. Because remember, Tosfos had the kasha. How could Rebbe be mevatel Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos gave two answers. First is that he wasn't trying to be mevatel, he just wanted to turn it into the same as every other fast. So that's what Rav Moshe just explained. That's not called being mevatel, because that's what Tisha B'Av originally was anyway. But then Tosfos gave a second answer. He wanted to move the date from the ninth day to the tenth day. That Rav Moshe didn't explain. Right? This Mahalik doesn't really help to understand that. Tisha B'Av was not originally on the tenth day. So it's not just going back to an earlier takana. So in order to explain that, Rav Sacks suggests, based on a Milchas Chinuch Mitzvah Shin Aleph, Minchas Chinuch has an incredible chiddush that's really very, very meduyik in the Pesukim, where he suggests that the initial takana of all the fast days was not that there's a fast day called Asara B'Teves, and there's a fast day called Tisha B'Av, and there's a fast day called Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. It's not the way the Navi records the fast days. How does the Navi record the fast days? Tzom HaRavi'i, Tzom HaAsiri. What does that mean? What's Ravi'i? Fourth month, tenth month, meaning the Navi records a month in which they were misakin to have a fast day. Says Minchas Chinuch, the initial takana was never to have the fast day on a specific day. The initial takana was to have a fast day during a specific month, and then it's a matter of figuring out later on what the most appropriate day in that month might be to have the fast day. And he says he's got plenty of rayas for this. Raya number one, he says, there's machlokes tanaim in Rosh Hashanah, daf yud ches on beis, what day Asar B'Teves should be. Well, if you call it Asar B'Teves, again, obviously it's Asar, but there's one opinion that holds that the fifth day of Teves is supposed to be the fast day. Well, machlokes tanaim, they just lived right after the Churban. Couldn't they just like see what people were doing? What's the shaykh to have? They wanted to know what the takana was. Is that what they were trying to figure? It was already lost in the times of the Tanaim, what the Takana was? It's not possible that was already lost, what the Takana was. So no, it's not that they had not figured out, they knew exactly what the Takana was. Takana was, have a fast day during Teves. And then they had room to argue in Halacha, which day of Teves is the most appropriate day. Another Raya. The Gemara says, also in Sugin Rosh Hashanah, that the ninth day of Tammuz was the day that the city was captured in the first Churban. It was on the 17th day of Tammuz for the second day, Samindash. But the ninth day of Tammuz for the first one. We observe Shiva Asar B'Tammuz because Bayis Sheni, was a bigger deal. It was a longer lasting destruction. So Tosfos explains, so since Bayisheni is more chamur, we go with that. But what do you mean? If initially, when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they were misakin a fast day, ninth day of Tammuz. So then, centuries later, second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they say, oh, we're changing that. Okay, I understand, you're not going to do 9th and 17th too much, too soon, it's too many fast days in such a short period of time. I understand that. But how could you change it? How could you change the Takana? Says Menachos Chinuch, nobody's changing anything. The Takana was to fast during Tammuz. Every later generation will figure out, and interestingly he says, the Ritva really says this, that they left the day on purpose. They left the date of Shavuos B'Tammuz, of the fast day in Tammuz, vague on purpose, because they knew it wouldn't be the last Churban. It's a startling assumption that the Ritva makes, and it's not just the Ritva, the Ravid and other Rishonim make the same assumption, that when they built both the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew there was going to be a Churban. They knew that they weren't building something that was going to last forever. The first one, because they were already promised in the times of the Meraglim. You made Tisha B'Av a day, that you have a Bechia Shel Chinam, crying for no reason. Ani Kaveh Elechem Bechia L'Doros. There's going to be a destruction. So they knew that the first Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Second Beis HaMikdash, they knew it was going to be destroyed because no one showed up. The Navi says that everyone was supposed to show up. Everyone was supposed to come back after Golas Bavel and rebuild it. And it was a small smattering of Jews that decided to come back. Whoever didn't have anything going on for them in Bavel, whoever just lost their job in Bavel, decided to go to Eretz Yisrael because there's no tuition over there. So they or whatever, you know, it was an easy aliyah. So that's the only reason anyone was making aliyah. That was the only reason anyone was going back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So they knew that such a Beis HaMikdash is not going to last. I mean, it lasted over 4 centuries, not terrible, but I mean, pretty terrible that it got destroyed. They knew it, though. They knew it initially. So they left it vague because they wanted to see how history would play out and when that most appropriate day would actually be. And it turned out to be a different day. It turned out to be Shavuos B'Tammuz and not the ninth day of Tammuz. And also, says Menachos Chinuch, the fact that that Rabbi Yochanan says that he would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th day of Av tells you that there was leeway. That could have been done because there was this assumption that the fast was decreed sometime during Chodesh Av. And he says that's what Tosfos means, that Rebbe could have moved the date of Tisha B'Av. Yeah, moving the date's no big deal. Why is it no big deal? Because the Takana was to have a fast day in Av. It wasn't what day to have a fast day in Av. And he explains that maybe this could be understood best based on the Rambam. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Maamarim talks about when you're allowed to argue on a previous generation, when you're not. Someone once attacked Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe. You think you're greater than Rav Akiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer? How do you write tshuvas where you argue on Rav Akiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer? And Rav Moshe explains, because I disagree in halacha with them. I think they're much greater than me. But I think a later generation is allowed to argue in halacha on an earlier generation. So what is it? So the Rambam says, yeah, in halacha, how to interpret halacha, we're allowed to argue on earlier generations. There are a few times in history where we accepted not to. At the Chasimus HaTalmud, we don't argue with Amoraim. Amoraim didn't argue with Tanayim. Okay, but for Gadol, a person is allowed to argue on a previous generation. But a Takana, a Gezerah, a formal enactment, that's what we're not allowed to go against. The formal enactment was to have a fast day during Chodesh Av. There was never a formal enactment about which day of Chodesh Av it should be. That was a machlokas in halacha. What day is most appropriate? Is it this day or is it that day? And Rebbe had every right to stake his claim in halacha, to have an opinion in the halacha, whether it should be one day or the other day. And Rav Sacks gives many other examples where we find that no firm date is set for something that you would imagine would have a firm date. So, you know, in the Haggadah we say, Yachal Me'Rosh Chodesh. Why Yachal Me'Rosh Chodesh? So the Netziv explains, because the Pasuk talks about the Chodesh of the Geula, so we would think that it actually applies the whole month. And the Netziv says in his commentary on Chumash that it actually does, meaning there actually is an element of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and of being Mechanich our children about what it means to be a Jew throughout Chodesh Nisan. It's just that, Bayomahu, so we have a special pasuk that tells me there's a special mitzvah on the night of the Seder. But really, whenever the Torah talks about a chodesh, the halacha might be about the entire month. And he gives a few other examples as well. So at the end of the day, Tosos gave this suggestion that Rebbe had the ability not to cancel Tisha B'Av, but either to move it or to modify it. One approach was that although we're not allowed to cancel the takana of a previous generation, we're allowed to modify the takanas of a previous generation. But that's Rosh Shlomo Kluger's suggestion. But most of the poskim reject that. And instead they suggest that either, like Rav Moshe says, Rebbe was going to put Tisha B'Av back, bring Tisha B'Av back to what it originally was, or he was going to adjust the date, because that is not a violation of the Takana at all. The Takana was only to have a fast day during that month, but not about which day of the month to have the fast on.